Parles-tu français?
Hablas español?
Parle italiano.
If you've used Babbel, you would. Babbel's conversation-based technique teaches you useful words and phrases to get you speaking quickly about the things you actually talk about in the real world. With lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, Babbel is like having a private tutor in your pocket. Start speaking with Babbel today. Get up to 55% off your Babbel subscription right now at babbel.com/listen. Spelled babbel.com/listen. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Soapy. I'm Rebecca Buttig.
And I'm Greg Rickhart.
Okay. Greg.
Okay. Go ahead.
Are you having a stroke?
No, I'm good.
What do you think makes a soap opera legend?
Soap opera legend.
Not you.
Well, you know, it's funny. When we first launched this year podcast and we were doing some press, we kept getting introduced as soap opera legends.
And well, I'm like, people overuse that word and overuse iconic.
Fair
but
enough.
But I would
yeah.
say our guest today
is someone who without... is legit a legend,
yeah.
Right? I think she has been identifiable in this genre for decades, mm-hmm. for her beauty, her talent, the fact that she has played iconic roles on 3 different soaps.
Yeah. And I told you, I'm like, I've been obsessed with her beauty, I mean, and her acting, actually, for years. So I'm just really excited to
Well, let's
down.
Tell everybody who we're talking okay. about. The one, the only Eileen Davidson, who of course you know as Ashley Abbott on The Young and the Restless, as a plethora of different characters
yes.
on
Days
of Our Lives,
yeah.
and also going way back to Santa Barbara.
And recently of Beverly Hills.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Yeah.
Which isn't a soap, but
it's in the
family, I would say, yeah?
Well, it's going to be a really great interview, guys, so stick around and we'll be right back with the lovely and amazing Eileen Davidson.
Well, I don't know. Are you going to start or am I going to start?
I'll start.
Oh, Eileen. Eileen Davidson is here.
Welcome, Eileen.
Do you want to introduce us?
Yeah.
We're doing things different today. We're so thrilled and honored to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. I'm excited.
Thanks. I don't know where to start, but I have an idea.
Okay, go ahead. No, go ahead, because there's a lot I want to ask about.
Okay.
I remember one of the first times I worked with you.
Yeah.
We were against the front door at the Abbott Mansion.
I think I remember.
And it was that weird, I'm sorry, I'm jumping right in, everybody. Were you with Space Invaders, they block you, or you're so close to each other. I didn't know him.
Yeah.
And I'm in his face, and I'm like, you've got gorgeous green eyes. I remember saying that to you. You have the most remarkable green eyes.
Thanks. And you have beautiful blue eyes. Oh, that is not my first memory of you. My memory of you is, I feel like Jesse was an infant, and I just remember you being-
Jesse is your son.
My son.
Yes, mm-hmm. who's now-
Almost 23.
Yeah, that
wow.
tracks.
Yep. Wow.
Seriously?
I know.
You were on the show that long ago?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know, he looks like he's 12. I don't like him very
that's
much.
That's crazy.
Yes.
That's what I started in 2003. June 2003.
Okay, he was a month old, so
yeah.
that's wild.
Dude, he's brand wow. new. And I remember yeah. you being in hair and makeup with him and probably a caretaker to take care of him while you were on set.
A caretaker. And, yes, a caretaker.
Or to take care of you. I don't know. Whoever.
Pruner. I can't.
Yeah.
Yes, my gardener's here to take care of my child.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The caretaker.
I don't know. A nanny, whoever it was.
Right.
Yeah. That's my first memory of you. But yeah, we just jumped right into it.
Yeah.
And you guys just met for the first time, right?
Well
I saw her passing in
yes,
the hall.
Passing in the hall. You were looking for what room they were putting
exactly.
you in that day. And I just remember thinking, oh, my God, she is so beautiful.
Oh, God.
In person.
That's so sweet. Thank
no,
you so
I've always oh found you to be striking. And you are a terrific actress. But
thank you.
You've taken breaks from here and there on Y&R, yes?
Oh, yeah.
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 Many,
she's
many.
Like, yeah.
10 years.
Sure.
Yeah. 10 years here, 10 years there.
10 years there.
yeah. yeah.
But let's start at the beginning. I know you're the youngest of 7, right?
Uh-huh.
And I'm the youngest of 8. I was like, oh, wow. You know, you can't really understand that until you're that, right?
Right.
What that means. But what?
And there's a 14-year gap. Is that correct?
Between me and my eldest brother. There was a 14-year. And then my sister was 13 and then 12. And
oh, that's big.
Yeah.
And I had
you?
The same 14-year mm-hmm. gap with my oldest brother as well. Anyway, but you, I know you grew up in California, yes?
I did.
Yes. And then you ended up in Hawaii at some point.
When I was 19.
When you were 19 mm-hmm. and you were like writing.
I was there for a couple months.
Yeah.
Deciding what I wanted to do with my life. I want to go into school, back to school and be a marine biologist, or if I was going to give modeling a try.
And
crazily enough, I found something going through, like during COVID, I went through my closets and I found something I'd written when I was 19 in Hawaii.
Okay.
I think I'd just gotten back from Hawaii and I said, oh my God, for the first time I'm alone. I don't really have a home with mom and dad anymore. It's time for me to go. I don't have an apartment yet. I don't have a boyfriend. It's just me. I think I'm going to move to Los Angeles. I've got a feeling. And I framed it like 2 weeks ago. I framed it. I thought, this is so crazy.
Aww.
I mean, I had no reason to have that feeling, by the way. I had none.
But in
except I'd done a little modeling in Newport Beach, like bikini shows. That was it.
And what did you do in Hawaii? Were you pursuing marine biology?
I had a girlfriend that lived there. And I went for 2 weeks and I stayed for 2 months.
On the Big Island? Or
On the North Shore of Oahu.
Okay.
And back then, back in the Stone Age, we didn't have a car. We did not have a TV. We had no phone. We had a little transistor radio.
Oh, my God.
And I literally, we'd have to go on the payphone to call my parents and let them know what was going on with me. I ran out of money because I was staying so long. So I'd had a connection from Newport Beach that knew the guy that did the photography for Crazy Shirts. Do you guys know Crazy Shirts? They're all the tourist stuff in every city.
Oh, yes,
the
yes,
t-shirts.
Yes.
He said, if you need something, maybe you could go get a job there. So I called the guy on the payphone. I took the bus into Waikiki, which took literally 2 hours from the North Shore, and I got a modeling gig and earned my airfare back home.
Wow.
Anyway, that's a really long story for that
that's
Hawaii.
Crazy.
I'm so
when
sorry.
You came back
We're going to be here for like 2 weeks.
Did you start? Did you, just hunker down. Hunker down, Eileen.
And
hunker
then the
down.
Next day after Hawaii.
Wait, so, okay, so then you come back to California.
Oh my God, fucking fascinating.
Wait, so you come back to LA, but so then what's the, what happens? How do things start happening?
Really? Okay.
No, I don't mean like the next day, but like
yeah,
how
we don't
do
need to know every single day when you came back.
That car was a Nova.
Oh, God.
No, I moved back in with my parents. I found somebody, another girl who was moving to LA. She had a friend. It was a guy. It was two girls and a guy. We lived in Los Angeles in West Hollywood. And then I was modeling, trying to model, even though that was never my destiny. And he said, you should take acting classes to loosen you up for commercial acting.
Got it.
And I fell in love. I cried like my first time. I know, I was destined for a soap opera.
But never before, like growing up, did you do school plays?
I did one play.
Okay.
And the one line was, and this is the Denfield living room. And I'll never forget it. Everybody cheered. But it was all my family.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
It was all my family. I know that
exactly.
feeling. Like everyone here is my family.
The Davidsons are here. Yeah.
So when did things start happening? How soon after acting classes? And
yeah. So I was taking several acting classes. I was actually cleaning the bathrooms of the school I went to for classes, because he'd give me like an extra class every month if I cleaned the studio and the bathrooms and the toilets and the whole thing. And I was working in it for my father as well in Fullerton and taking dance classes. And I quit my day job when I was 21. And
wow.
I moved up there when I was not quite 20. I was so lucky. I started doing low budget movies, a horror movie, which you know well.
Yes. Actually, I did not know it well until this past week. But my husband had told me you've got to watch House on Sorority Row, and I have since learned it is a huge cult
it
favorite
is,
of
yeah.
Quentin Tarantino's.
Right.
It's mentioned in the original Scream movie.
Right.
So what amazes me most about that film is, and I said this to Rebecca earlier,
yeah.
and I was trying to figure out the way to explain this, that you're terrific in it. You're 21.
Thank you. Yeah.
And you are like, again, I hope this comes out the right way. You're a fully formed, strong woman at 21. Like,
oh.
You are who you are today.
Right.
Then. And I was like,
oh, God, no. But thank
that's
you.
That's how you come across.
Right.
And it's funny because we had a little back and forth and you said you didn't know that you can ask for a fake slap.
I was
and you got
so naive. I was so incredibly stupid. I was just a dumb.
But you're so good and you seem so self-possessed and mature.
That's
and
what
that's
it is.
What
I
was
that's yeah. what it is. I think you said, like he said, I see old videos of you acting when you're like 20 and I'm like, oh.
No,
wow.
I say
yeah.
there was a girl in immaturity
there. There was a youthfulness
there.
Right.
And then he said when he watched you in this movie that there's just a maturity, like a real sense of
yeah.
self.
And did you not feel that at that age?
No.
Okay.
So you faked
forget
it
everything
well.
I just said.
No, yeah. I mean, you know, I really took it very seriously.
Maybe it was
That's why I said, slap me. Go ahead. I told Kate McNeil, go ahead and slap me. Was she supposed to slap
takes,
me?
Right?
Probably more.
Oh, my God.
I was saying stars. I'm like,
oh, my God.
But I wanted the reality. I was a real actress. And, you know, I did a lot of things because I wanted to be a real actress. So I would just
stab me with that thing for real.
Yeah. I mean, crazy stuff. But, yeah. Plus, the director was great. Yeah. I just did, for the first time, I did like a horror con.
Like
6 months ago, they asked me to do it for that, for the remake. There was a remake of it, and they asked me to come and be on it. I was there with the original director, Mark Rossman. And, you know, I had a little brief nudity in that movie, and there was another scene that was supposed to be it in. And I said, I'm really not comfortable. He goes, leave your shirt on. It's okay. And I remember I was up on this panel, and I said, Mark, you don't know what that meant to a 21-year-old actress. Because it's just, they wanted you to take your clothes off as much as possible. I mean, they do.
Always.
They still do.
Always, yeah.
So it was just a really nice thing for him to do. And he was a terrific director. It holds its own a lot because of him and his vision, how much he believed in it.
Was anyone else from the movie there on the panel with you?
No. Well, Kate is now, she works with kids, I think. Kate McTeal. She went on to do As the World Turns.
Oh, really?
And she had a really big career in film and TV. And Harley Jane Kozak was also in it. Harley was on Texas and did Parenthood. She had a big career too, but they both kind of moved on to other things.
So were you, after, when you were doing those low budget films, were you kind of off and running, and was it sort of smooth sailing?
I got fired when I got House on Sorority, where I was a waitress, I was a server, and I got fired because it was the second movie I'd gotten in a couple of months, and the managers just said, if you're not going to stay here, you got to go. And I just decided that was going to be my last day job. I ran into him like a couple of years ago.
Wow.
I said, thank you so much. Yeah. Thanks for firing me. But yeah.
Oh my God, how to randomly run into
I know.
Your old boss from a, like a where?
More,
what, where did, where was
I know.
It?
Well, my husband's ex-wife worked there too. So he was like, how's Betsy? I'm like, she's great. That's a very, very small world, trust me.
Holy crap.
I know.
It's that is so funny.
I know.
Yeah.
So what was your first soap opera then? Was it Santa Barbara?
No, Y&R.
It was Y&R.
Y&R was before Santa Barbara?
Yeah, I did Y&R. Oh my God, your deep dive was so shallow.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God, I love you. I love you. He's really shallow, isn't he?
You're shallow.
He doesn't know how to go deep.
I have such hopes for this interview.
Then I was prepped. I just blew it all with House on Sorority Row. That's all I had.
I spent 6.5 years on Y&R in the 80s. You missed the hair.
Oh my God.
I don't know why you couldn't miss that hair.
I don't know why I thought Santa Barbara was before that.
No.
All right.
No, it was
Y&R. So you started on Y&R. Tell us about that.
Yeah.
Had you watched soaps growing up?
You know, my sister, I moved in with my sister when I was 16, 17. I was her nanny when she had her kids. And she was in love with Ryan's Hope. So she got me hooked on Ryan's Hope. By the way, to get any kind of soap, Ryan's Hope was brilliant.
Ryan's Hope was a very,
it was
very
brilliant.
Good show. Yes.
I mean, that whole cast was incredible. And the writing.
I know. I remember.
Right?
I remember because I grew up, we had Ryan's, wasn't it Ryan's Hope and All My Children? Weren't they all on ABC?
Yeah.
But Ryan's Hope was like a half hour, I thought. Yeah. It was a good show.
So that was like the show she watched. So I'd come home from school because I would be done at noon. And we'd watch that together. Yeah. And you know what else we'd do? We'd play Pong.
You would?
Yeah. Remember Pong?
Pong the...
Pong the video game? It's like the very first video game.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's my sister.
Hey.
We watched soaps, played Pong. And we'd make pancakes and play Frisbee with them. We were a couple of crazy kids.
That sounds hilarious and fun. I went in on that. Okay, so...
sorry,
Ryan's Hope,
we're digressing.
With what's his name? Who played my dad on Y&R, who you worked with too.
Wow. Wow.
Can't help you, sure.
Eileen, I am so sorry.
Eileen, you were supposed to do some homework for me.
I apologize.
We'll get there. I'm on vacay.
On what?
Who played Tom Fisher?
Okay. I know who you mean.
You do, right?
Yeah, but I can't.
Oh my God. Can we Google it?
We're going to Google it
right now.
ChatGPT.
No, but I know he worked on Ryan's Hope before.
Yes. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Tip of my tongue. He's no longer with us.
No, he's not.
Can you take over? I'm doing
We could
terrible.
Talk about something else.
Roscoe Bourne.
Roscoe Bourne, who, by the way, was a terrific actor.
Well, I was mentioning him because when you talked about how great the actors from Ryan's Hope were, he's obviously the first person I thought of. And you got to work with him on Y&R when
we
were sort of quasi-related for a minute, you and I.
Right. Yeah.
The tainted face cream and Gloria and your dad. And
yeah. There's a motorcycle in there somewhere, too. I was on it with Tom, the crazy guy, but whatever.
Yeah.
Ashley went motorcycle riding.
I remember.
So then what was that experience like to get a soap? Like, you know, having sort of...
I'm sure you remember. You're so excited to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. And yeah. also, but I watched the people when I went to All My Children, at least not Guiding Light per se, but when I went to All My Children, I had watched all these people and I was like, oh my God. So it was kind of, it was just, I was excited to be there.
Yeah. I mean, I hadn't really watched YNR. I had been auditioning for General Hospital constantly.
Really?
Before I got YNR. Marvin Page was the casting director at the time. He was an incredible casting person, the kind that would call you at home and tell you to come in the day before he'd work on it with you. He was very gruff and he's scary. He was very scary, but he would like work on it with me. He really wanted me on that show. And it was right after the whole Luke and Laura thing. And they were right before Demi Moore came on. And it was right around that time. And he was really trying to get me on that show.
Did you audition for any roles that are still on that show?
I don't think so. No. Not that are still on, but the big ones at the time.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And then I got YNR during that same time.
Who was the casting director at YNR back then? Man. Oh, are you stumped? Oh.
I'm the guest. this show's mean.
Should I send him out of this room? I mean, we can just hang out.
Speaking of casting directors.
Tom, his name was Tom.
It was
a long time ago.
But speaking of casting directors, I asked Marnie this morning. I said, hey, do you have any good Eileen stories?
I don't even have a wheeze.
Oh my God.
What?
Eileen, Marnie this morning said to me, I said, do you have any good Eileen stories? And she said, the first one that comes to mind is just that when you and your now husband, Vinny, were on screen together, just that your chemistry was incredible and so incredible that you had to get married in real life.
Yeah. I know. Crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you just recently did a project together, didn't you? 7 Days to
Vegas.
We
did that a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was shooting at the same time I was doing Housewives and YNR and Days of Our Lives. That's why I'm not working now. I was doing a lot.
And you were writing because you also write.
Right. Yeah. So it was busy. Yeah.
That must have been a bonkers time because we know how hard it is with kids and families. And
you get really good at juggling. Yeah. And I'm a very present parent, as I'm sure you two are too. You don't do that. You don't do this. I can do this that time, but I have to be here for that. Mm-hmm. You just make it work.
Wait, so that was
2018, I think.
And that was YNR Days and Housewives all at the same time?
Yeah, it was my last year on Housewives, so I was doing a lot of press for that. And then Vinny had this movie we were doing.
And you also had another movie is this a film that you wrote with your niece? Because I know you and your niece write together.
We're still pitching. That was another one that was about to go, and then his went first. We had the same people producing it. His went first. And then by the time ours was supposed to go, they'd been pirated. One of the movies, so.
Oh, really?
It's a journey. The whole writing thing is a journey.
Would you prefer to just write?
You know, that's a good question, Rebecca, because I thought so.
That felt pointed.
I didn't mean it that way, but you know.
You thought so.
That's right, yeah. I did, but I really miss acting. So I've been I miss acting. I like it. It's fun.
Do you like acting in daytime, or do you prefer to venture out and
I like acting the films anywhere, but I like it to be, I don't like long periods of acting, you know, like short few months here. The long contracts are a little overwhelming, but depends.
And it's time
I'd like to say no to anything.
Yeah.
But
how did you like doing The Housewives of Beverly Hills? Okay, I'm just going to ask it.
Yeah.
How did you like that experience? Doing a reality show.
It was so terrifying all the time, but also fun and crazy and completely outside of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And I don't have any regrets. It's just been really interesting. I just went to a party. My stomach is growling. Can you guys hear
that? No, that was mine.
Oh,
or was it yours?
Was
it mine?
Snacks.
I don't know. The three of us. We made a pizza party.
That's why my brain's not working.
Let's send him out to get food.
I'm hungry.
Okay. Sorry. I just went to a party and it was so weird. It felt really, I hadn't seen anybody in years because once I left, I really kind of closed the door on it. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't, every time I posted anything on social media, I kind of got dragged back into it. So I kind of had to just like not post anything, and I kind of just stayed very much away from it.
So you didn't develop friendships that
I did.
You did.
I did. But after didn't. I kind of said, I really just need to stay away.
Yeah.
And then so I went back to the party. It was good. I saw Kyle Richards and I saw Erica and Denise and everybody. And it was fun to see everybody and not be in it. Mm-hmm. you know? So it was, it's an interesting phenomenon.
Well, your name also, and I feel like Kyle may have done a BravoCon recently where they said, who would you like to have back?
She did say that. She mentioned you. Sweet. Yeah. Cause,
your name does sort of circle back as being someone who would be, who people really want to see on the show again. And my friend Sam, who's a devout Housewives fan, says you were almost, she said, I think the problem with Eileen was that she's too classy for that show. Or maybe that you didn't need the, sometimes when I watch, it feels like people are looking for that viral moment.
Uh-huh.
And it did, and you're a real
the beast,
person.
The Beast was a viral moment.
A viral moment.
And the slap.
And to your point, how dare she? Because a beast? Come on. Who would ever look at you and call you a beast?
Well, you know, whatever.
She wasn't well.
Whatever. Yeah. But you know, it's the craziest thing is that it's still very much a part of culture. I mean, it's a huge thing. It's morphed. You asked me before if it was scripted. Everyone is produced by a different company.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not all.
Oh, really?
Yes. There's Evolution and there's
cities,
other ones.
You mean.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
This one definitely was. They give you an idea what they want you to accomplish in an evening. And, you know, well, this should happen. But they don't, at that time, I can't say how it's done now.
Yeah.
But I had no idea I was going to get wine in my face. I would have handled everything much better if these things hadn't happened mm-hmm. the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You really don't know what you're in for. I didn't.
Do you think that those shows get more respect than soaps these days?
More respect? I don't know if they get more respect. It's just a whole different
mm-hmm.
thing. People always ask me what's easier. I'm like, scripted, of course.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah.
But
I can't even imagine.
But they're similar insofar as I think people are tuning in to see the aspirational clothing and jewelry and all that, just these sort of luxurious lives that mm-hmm. the
right. Well,
folks
I think there was a part where Lisa Vanderpump actually. I said she asked me what I was driving. I said a Ford Flex. She had no idea what that was. I drove that same car here, by the way. I'm holding on to it just for you know, cause. But yeah, I know it's like 25 years old. I don't know, whatever.
She didn't know what it was.
She had no idea what it was. No. Which is funny.
It's like, is that new? Is that a sports car?
Well, it's also funny. It should be called like the Real Housewives of Greater Los Angeles because Garcelle lives in Porter Ranch.
Right.
You know, it's not exactly Beverly Hills, but it's, again, it's an aspirational thing in the same way that soaps are, right?
Yeah.
If you want to sort of make the connection.
Do you think that's something you'd ever go back to?
I learned a long time ago not to say never, but
right.
I don't see it. Mm-hmm. They asked me to come back for a few last year. But just the money and the whole thing wasn't worth the emotional
mm-hmm.
thing. For me, I'm not cut out for it necessarily. The one thing I learned so many things. And I learned so many things about myself and so many things about human nature. What people will do to be famous.
Yeah.
And I've been doing this since I was 20, you know? But wow, it's shocking.
Yeah.
It's really shocking to me. It really matters a lot. Matters a lot because you can have so much money. Like I was always asking like the producer, I'm like, would they really do something like that just because they want to be relevant? He's like, I mean, I couldn't fathom that I can't go into details, but
yeah, no, I
would be the same way. I'd find that pretty fascinating mm-hmm. and depressing.
Yeah, it was interesting.
You would be good on that show too, though, in the same way that you were as the voice of reason and someone who's not desperate for that viral moment.
Yeah.
You know? Because you were part of a viral moment, but you weren't the one who was
of course,
creating the...
Of course. But again, if it's worked for you, and it works for a lot of them, and they've made amazing lives out of it, so how mm-hmm. can you judge it?
Yeah.
It's just, it's got to be a very personal thing. Because I wouldn't tell anybody not to do it. Other people I know have been asked to do it. I said, I would never tell you not to do it, ever.
Yeah. But
you're going to have to figure it out as you go.
Yeah. They asked a couple of actors at Days. And,
right.
One in particular was asking me about it, and I was like... I think you should do it. I think that she had concerns about professionally about her acting career, and I was like, "Look at Garcelle. Garcelle's never been busier.
It will not hurt you.
Yeah,
in that capacity, I don't think.
Yeah.
What about personally? Like, how did your husband feel about it?
He was so funny about it. You know, he supported me in whatever, but he, even my brother-in-law, he goes, "What's the big deal?" I'm like, "Oh my God, you don't." What's the problem? I'm like, oh my God, you don't have these people there throwing things at you. Yeah. But he didn't really, he was fine with whatever I wanted to do. He was hilarious. He was out looking at the drama. Did you, anybody see that picture of him? He went out to the garage to get a beer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. And there's a fight, and you can see him in the window.
Brandy and Kyle are fighting in my driveway. And there's my husband. His nose is smashed against the glass. And I see them.
That would be Michael.
I see what they're filming. I run through the house and I go, "Hey, you're on TV right now. You're being filmed with your nose smashed against the glass."
And did he just go,
"Yeah, okay,
I left."
Scurries back.
Oh my God, that is so funny.
But you said your kids were sort of, were they fine with it?
The older ones were fine, but they were basically going to college at that time. Mm-hmm. Jesse was fine in the beginning, but he hit puberty towards the end. Oh. And he would get asked, "Oh, you're that kid from Housewives," when he was in school. He'd go, "No, I'm not." He'd walk away. "No, wrong person."
Wow.
Like, that's the way to handle it.
Yeah.
Wow. Deny, deny, deny.
Wow.
No, he didn't like it. And I always promised all of them, if anybody had a problem with it, I was gone.
Yeah.
And he did. And it became more and more apparent. Hmm. So.
Well, yeah, your priorities.
And they were nice about it, though. They would say, "We won't use him. We won't do that."
I asked you over text if you would do The Traitors, and you said no.
No, I said I've never watched it.
Oh, you would love it, and you'd
really
be amazing.
I know Lisa just did it.
Yeah.
She did great on it,
and it's a short commitment. To your point about not wanting to do something long term,
I would probably be interested in something like that. Sure,
yeah, you heard it here, folks. It's they fly you to Scotland for a couple of weeks. You get to hang out with Alan Cumming.
How do you know all this?
Because I watched the show.
Did you?
I have been trying to get myself on that show. And if you get on and I don't, I'll be happy for you.
Wait, you get to go to Scotland?
Do we believe him?
Wait, you get to go to Scotland for
3 weeks? You go to this castle in Scotland for 3 weeks, and it's basically like this, it's a game of mafia, basically, where there's 20 plus people.
Oh, you would
put
you
around a table, and they everyone's blindfolded, and they pick three people to be the traitors, and everyone else is a faithful, and no one knows who the traitors are. It's really fun, and then you have to... You know, there's always a couple of housewives, and so there's always an allegiance amongst the housewives and the survivor folks. It's a lot of reality.
Interesting.
People. It's really, really fun.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Check it out.
Okay.
Okay.
I went to Scotland a couple of years ago with my bunch of my family members, some nieces and stuff, because we're from Scotland.
Oh.
And, I mean, you know, a long time ago. And we stayed at the Davidson Castle.
Wow.
There was a Davidson Castle.
Like, really?
Built lineage-wise?
Yeah.
Your family?
Yeah. Well, Davidson's, yeah.
Wow. That's
amazing. It was awesome. We did a road trip, you know.
That sounds amazing.
To Loch Ness.
Yeah.
Shut up.
How cool.
I know. Love Scotland.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Everyone learns a language for different reasons. Maybe you want to watch K-dramas without subtitles or talk with family members in their native language. Your life is unique. Your language learning should be too. Rosetta Stone, the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years, just launched Rosetta Stone Sapphire, a new app that combines its proven immersion method with the latest innovation in technology to help you learn faster, personalize your lessons, and have more fun along the way. Most language apps teach the same generic topics. Sapphire helps you focus on what you actually want to talk about, whether that's travel, family, work, or your favorite hobbies. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. You'll get unlimited access to all 25 Rosetta Stone languages, plus all the new Sapphire learning tools. Visit rosettastone.com/audio to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/audio and start learning a language for real.
Let's talk about your characters. Well, let's talk about your Y&R character. Didn't that Ashley Abbott, right? Didn't she have dissociative identity disorder?
Briefly, yes.
Yeah, and so what you've gotten to play
recently,
two
right?
characters with mental health issues, right? On Days, didn't you have multiple, No, wait.
No, you just play multiple characters.
Yeah, you play multiple characters on days.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
We'll get to Thomas in a minute. But I love how I read something where you said that with Susan, the teeth helped you find that character.
Yeah, and for the nun, the ruler did.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was raised Catholic, but I was never hit by a ruler. But my brothers and sisters were.
Because you were too good?
So my brothers and sisters. I mean,
what? I'll air their dirty laundry, just not my own.
Well, back in the day, they were older than me, and they got hit by rulers. Yeah. And as soon as they said I was playing a nun, I said, give me a ruler!
Oh my God.
And I found her. She was very punitive.
Well, but talk
about... Oh my God.
I'm sweating. I'm sweating and I need a snack.
I'm sweating too. Don't smell my armpits.
But talk about...
I was going to ask if I could.
I know, I'm sure.
This is getting weirder. Okay.
Okay. But talk
more
about...
Oh my God, you're so much fun. I want to hang out. Can I come to Malibu?
Talk more about...
I
want
to
hear...
I over to play Peace Run to make James
I'm trying to get her to... I want to play...
I'm trying to get you over to the house to play pickleball.
Yeah, I know.
I got hit in the boob the other day.
Oh, I'm
so
sorry.
It hurts so bad.
I know.
I have so many bruises. It's like...
I signed up for that tournament in Calabasas.
You did?
Yeah, May 2nd.
Shut up.
Uh-huh.
What tournament?
None of your business.
Oh my God.
it's pickleball, tournament.
Pickleball.
Okay, wait, getting the train back on the tracks.
Okay, wait, for the Emmy one, what? For the Emmy one you did? Is it an Emmy tournament?
No.
Oh, there's an Emmy tournament.
Okay, we'll talk about that.
Okay, sorry.
Tell our audience how, when you talk about finding a character, whether it's the ruler or the teeth, like talk about your process a little bit and what that means of like
process.
How sometimes there's something that can help ground the reality of a hyper realistic situation. Go.
Go. Like I said, the ruler helped, the teeth, because automatically I felt the craziness. Maybe you could relate to this. My family was pretty out there. There was so many of us, and there was a lot of comedy when I grew up.
A lot of comedy.
My sisters and brothers were hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, they put on shows and costumes, and there was a lot going on.
My mom and dad
up.
Had a great sense of humor, and so it was pretty funny.
It was a show,
And
it was high emotional, either laughing or screaming. Like my sister would lock herself in the bathroom because he was going to threaten to put her in the pool before a date, and he would get the screwdriver and slowly like the screws, and he'd pull. So there's a lot of drama.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of cut my teeth on it. Really just like, speaking of teeth.
Mm.
So it's like, what?
Good one.
So when you had the teeth, I just knew who she was immediately. Plus at the time she was supposed to be overweight. So they had like a suit that I was wearing as well. But I just kind of found this, they wanted her from the South. So she just kind of fell into place.
Yeah.
And then the nun. And then the guy, Thomas.
Thomas.
I wanted a comb over. I figured I could find him with a comb over. And I did.
Oh
now,
God. Oh my God.
Also just, I mean, because I don't want to gloss over because we're having a good time and that's great, but, but you're so good. And it's like those little things just create these completely distinct and memorable and like fascinating characters and like how much
Thanks.
Fun.
Yeah. Well, I always felt like I was a character actor. Really
stuck
trapped
in the body of
trapped
a
in a
yeah,
leading,
I was gonna
trapped
say
in a leading
stuck in the body of a gorgeous
thing,
woman.
But it was like I much prefer that.
Yeah.
But it's also caused me to make some crazy decisions. I mean, Thomas, the recent Thomas.
On the was that your choice?
Was that my choice? No, I was forced into it.
No,
said, okay,
I mean
Ron,
it wasn't just
say,
the comb
Ron.
Over. It wasn't just the comb over, right?
This is on Days of Our Lives,
yes.
Everyone. Let's
Days
remind
of our lives.
Because you've gone from
and that's
days
when it
to
went
one,
on to Peacock,
not.
And
yes.
They really went
it's like
out there.
A big
there.
Old swing.
Oh yeah,
wow. With,
but I said I wanted the hair on the chest. Mm-hmm. So what does that say about me? I mean, I can't blame them. You know, I'd love to, but I can't.
But also to have a real moment, and I feel like maybe I've said this on this podcast, but I don't know if
I don't think.
Should we start over?
Come back. No. No, we're doing great.
I don't know.
Do you need a tissue?
I don't know anymore.
Here.
She's taking the pillow.
Come here. Are you schwitzing?
Probably.
Here.
Well, don't. I'll put those in my shirt.
Thanks.
No.
Go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
I was going to say to have a real moment when when a grounded
that.
Moment, a grounded
okay.
moment.
Okay.
When because we are a little off the rails.
Okay.
When we were both working on. On the Beyond Salem spinoff.
Yeah.
Do you remember a conversation that we had where you reminded me that on my last day at Young and the Restless,
right.
Eileen said to me, this is going to be the best thing that's ever happened to you. Mm-hmm. And
I said, every time I've gotten fired, it's been the very best thing that's ever happened to me.
And I don't think I remembered that until the follow-up conversation, because mm-hmm. I was not in a place where
You look like a deer with the headlights.
Yeah, it was hard.
When I told you that. Of course, it was your last day. And I'm like, really, it's fine.
You're going to be fine. I was like,
screw you.
Yeah. But you were absolutely right. Absolutely mm-hmm. right. And
He's mentioned that moment several times.
No, it's very impactful. Really impactful. So
it was freeing, wasn't it?
Yes. It took a minute to get there, but absolutely. Right.
Well, there's no guarantees about it, but that's part of the whole experience. Yeah.
And I have mm-hmm. since used that conversation with other actors who have found themselves in the situation I was mm-hmm. in. Now, I guess the question I wanted to know, though, was did you learn that lesson that you were able to impart on me from your own experience?
Sure. And 2006, I was let go, from Weinar.
I remember.
And I had a 3-year-old and mm-hmm. a 11-year-old and a 13-year-old. And it was just somebody called me from upstairs and said, Ashley's going to Hong Kong. And I'm like, what? I had no idea. And that was crazy. And then Brad Bell called me a couple of months later and said, do you want to come over to Bold and Beautiful? And I was like, sure. So then I went over there. And that show was so terrific, by the way.
Oh, it's a dream to work on.
It's a beautifully produced show. Yeah. Everybody's so wonderful. I told Kelly Lang, I said, this is like the best kept secret. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I had the best time over there. I worked with Ron Moss. I worked with Kelly, who was lovely. She's a lovely person to represent her show.
Yeah, she's amazing. She really is. She's classy.
By the way,
classy.
I don't know if everybody knows that about her. She handles that mantle or whatever beautifully.
Yeah.
She's very welcoming. She's very classy.
Yeah.
She invited all the actresses to do a cooking thing at the Four Seasons in Westlake. And we made butternut squash soup.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Aww,
I'm sorry if that didn't happen for you.
It hasn't happened for me yet.
I'm so sorry.
But you know what? Actually, I will say Brad Bell actually creates, Kelly is amazing and she also does represent the show very well.
Uh-huh.
I agree with you. She was very welcoming. But I would just say Brad is, it starts from the top down.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And he really, I remember when I met with him, he's like, if anyone's an asshole here, just tell me. I don't want any assholes here. And I was like, that's so nice. He just wants a nice group of people. And it is a really wonderful work environment.
Yeah. So I had a great time on that show, which I wasn't expecting. I loved working with Ron, by the way. And the characters had great chemistry and that was fun. And then I'm back on the show and then I this is a really weird story. Shall I tell it quickly?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So then I'm back on the show and then I was on Weinar and I've been there for a while and they say, so do you, I get a call from Days. Do you want to come over? And I'm like, sure. I'd love to come for a little bit just so it doesn't affect my day job. They're like, well, something great. You can do both maybe. Mm-hmm. Then I get a call up to the office 2 months later and they're like, we're letting you go from Y&R, but they want you at Days. I'm like, I feel like a baseball player. I got no say in it. I took a pay cut. Yeah. I was so angry.
This is the
seed of the story about you, by the way. It does come back to you.
Got it.
So I was so pissed off because I got no say. I'm like, I have to take it because I have a lifestyle that I'm contributing to,
mm-hmm. exactly.
children. So I took it. I was so angry. And I was going to Days of Our Lives with so much bitterness. I had no idea what I was going into. I didn't know who I was going to be working with. I was kind of just given a take it or leave it. And then I watched Oprah. I know, Oprah. Gotta love her. And she said, when you're in life, if something happens, just have no expectations. She had a guest on. I think it was Super Soul Sunday. Mm. Have no expectations and then you'll be surprised and it'll be a blessing. And I went, I can't go into this new job being so full of bitterness and hate.
Yeah.
So I decided to go in completely free of it, any bitterness, and just welcome the experience, see what was going to happen. And it was honestly one of the best years of my life, creatively. Yeah. I won my first Emmy that year.
Your first Emmy?
Yeah. I worked with Eric Martsoff, who was a dream. By the way, I'm in the makeup chair going, why am I working with this guy? He's like, younger than me, I don't get the story. I didn't know what I was walking into. It was a great story. Chris Weitzel wrote it. He was brilliant. He wrote the whole thing where Kristen seduces Brady, who's the son of John, who's her ex-lover. She ends up seducing him, convincing everybody she's the good girl. And then stabs John in the back. It was brilliant, really. Uses the son to destroy the father.
Mm-hmm.
It was Greek. It was great. Fabulous.
Yeah.
And I had so much fun.
Yeah.
And it freed me up just with everything. And it was just a great, great, great experience.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, it opened up my life in many ways, my career.
Yeah, no, that's a great story and a great lesson in not being stuck.
Right.
Because I think the part of that that I was able to relate to is when I first got there, I think having the expectation, and we've talked about this too, that it was going to be like the last place I was at. And once I sort of really disavowed any idea of it being anything than other than just a new experience, then I really was able to fully commit to it.
Yeah.
But it is hard when, and with
and
these jobs.
And it's hard when you're let go too. You carry that sort of like, why was I let go? What was wrong with me there?
Exactly.
But you have to start fresh somewhere else.
But there's we've talked about too, the place where you're at in your life when the big milestones hit, and then saying goodbye to that is always challenging.
Yeah. But then you know what? I always reminded myself through all of these different journeys, I never signed a contract that said you get to play that character for the rest of your life.
Right.
And you choose when you leave. Yeah. That was never part of the deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's all just a blessing. And in you know, in a more spiritual way, that's true about everything in life. Yeah. Everything
really
in life.
Is.
Yeah. And about just enjoying where you are presently and trying to make the most of it.
I have a son who's a soccer player and his team is going through some changes now. And he's having a hard time. And I'm like, you always learn more about yourself and you grow more when you're challenged. And this is all like, you know, it's hard to see the forest through the trees, but
yeah.
You've played Ashley Abbott probably the longest, right?
Yeah.
On The Young and the Restless. What have you learned about yourself through that character? Or what, have you ever learned anything through any stories or anything that you've told on that show?
Any of the stories? Yeah. I mean, I've told this before, but it's really, it's a big one. It's important. Ashley, years ago, had a breast cancer screening because it was Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. And God bless the writers on the show. They did a lot of topical stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they still do, but they did at that time. And in the 80s, they did AIDS and stuff.
Of course.
So, and my character had an abortion in the 80s.
Wow.
So they took on stuff. And so Ashley has, and she finds it, and she has breast cancer. So I'm doing the storyline, and she loses her hair, and blah, blah, blah. I started getting fan mail from women saying that that storyline saved their lives. Mm. Because they went and had a screening and they found a lump and a tumor and their lives are here. They're still living because of it. And then, you know, the show is delayed like 3 years in Europe. So I started getting letters 3 years later from these European women, same thing. So you realize that what you're doing, I mean, it's entertainment and it's fun and everything. And it's crazy and it's a hoot. Mm-hmm. But you really are helping people on a different level that you can't even really begin to understand. Yeah. You know, maybe it's not for us to understand all the different ways we help. But we help in many, many ways by entertaining. Mm-hmm. Getting people through difficult times, kids through difficult times in their homes, their home life. I've heard from other people that said they were in abusive households and it was their one sanctuary, you know, to watch us and to be entertained by us. They felt safe. We were predictable, you know. Yeah. So there's a lot that you get out of it that you don't even know and a lot that you're giving that you would never know.
Mm-hmm. And in such a way, right, where it's they're generational, right? And it's like, you don't even just have the opportunity to have that kind of influence over somebody over the course of a storyline, but it's a career, you know, that you've been playing this role for so long. And I think it's more impactful because it is someone that they feel like they know. And if Ashley is telling me that I should go and get a screening or that this is the right thing to do, then I will listen to her.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference with stories on soaps because they do feel like they know you more intimately than they do. Like if you watch a series and it's only 13 episodes, you don't feel as connected to those characters
for sure
as you do like in daytime when you get to see them every day.
Yeah.
Also to your point, I also find that like when I'm sick, I always look, if I'm just in bed and I'm like, and I want to watch some comfort food, I always go back to something I watched like Cheers. I love watching Cheers when I'm sick because it's familiar in a way that when I was a kid, it was safe and security. Okay. We have a hotline, a soapy hotline.
Okay.
God, and fans write in on our Instagram page and they have lots of questions for you.
I would like to say everybody's done a really good job getting out of that humor fest that we're in and talking about like spirituality and fans
stuff.
And
like I said, it's going to be a little bit like ADHD.
All three of us.
I know.
Also, it feels like a day on set, right? Where we kind of spun off into space a bit. And
it's
then we
nice to have
down.
Fun and have a good laugh.
Yes.
It makes you feel good.
Yes.
I have one from the fans.
Go ahead.
Okay. Can you talk about your time on Santa Barbara? Any fun stories or memories from set? What was it like playing Kelly Capwell?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. lots of good lessons there. Actually, just driving in here, I was going, oh my God, I used to shoot tape right across the street. And I was just thinking about, oh my God, when I was taping Santa Barbara, what was going on in my life? And so weird. So yeah. Kelly Capwell had been played by Robin Wright and somebody else. And I was taking over, which is so hard to do.
Tell me about it, girl.
Oh my God. The hate is real. Uh-huh. I mean, you know. So I had been, I had helped create, but basically written an iconic role. Bill Bell had created Ashley. She was a tremendous role on Y&R and everybody loved her. I left, somebody took over the role. So, but I was in the catbird seat. I made that role, I'm going. Then I went over here, I went over here and I was taking over somebody else's spot. And it was difficult because you're trying to make it your own. You can't be like them. So you have to make it your own. And there was a lot of resistance to that. You know,
was there a gap in between when she was playing?
Not much. Yeah. Well, Robin, yes, but there'd been somebody in between. It's not pleasant to do that. So I have a lot of respect for people that go in and take over somebody else's role that's been established for a while. Right?
It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. I mean, I'm very happy to have the privilege, but
yeah,
it is definitely different.
It's a whole different part of the experience of acting on a show. It's a real different experience.
Was Santa Barbara at Burbank Studios?
Yeah, it's right across the street.
Crazy.
NBC, though. It was NBC.
Oh, I see. Okay, another fan question is...
I also got to work with great people there. Kim Zimmer was on the show.
Really?
A. Martinez was on the show. Nancy Grahn was on the show.
Oh, my God.
So many talented people.
Oh, I mean, wasn't so Justin Dees on that show too? Yeah.
I wasn't on when he was on, but
he was on that
a plethora
show,
of people.
Yeah, it was so many.
Yeah.
Really good actors.
You're known for playing intelligent, powerful, smart women, sometimes villainous women. What is it about Ashley that resonates most with you? She's a businesswoman, but she's fragile. She has succumbed to gaslighting.
Oh, several times. So what is it about Ashley? I think the fact that she appears that she has it all together and she's incredibly vulnerable and very fallible. That's what I've always found most interesting about that character is that, again, she was always her father's favorite or whatever, but she has a lot of problems, obviously, and so many that still haven't been even touched on. I mean, the multiple personality thing was a small part of that, but I mean... something happened way back when. So I find her fascinating still.
Yeah.
Because there's still so much to be told.
Great.
You know?
Yeah. She's great.
Okay.
Oh, thanks.
What? One more.
You have one more? Okay.
Tell us about the soap opera mystery series you write.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a little while ago. I wrote, there's four of them, so they're kind of all done. But it was with Penguin Books. I had a book deal with them.
So the scripts that you write with your niece are not related to those?
No. I can see why there's a confusion. The first, I kind of molded two of them together and wrote a script called Dial M for Murder.
Right.
But it's based on two of the books.
Cool.
That's the one that almost got made that didn't, but
weren't. Are you working on something right now? Are you writing something right
now? Yeah, I've kind of shifted over to horror and I have something that's now got a director attached and we have some financing and we're...
For you to act in as well?
Yes. This one, yes. Another one I'm writing, no, but...
Are there two parts in it?
Hey, listen, always.
Okay.
Can I play a sister?
Be careful. Be careful what you wish for.
We'll talk about it over pickleball.
Hey, remember that conversation we had?
I just remember you saying that you were going to buy me over
bucks.
For pickleball.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like doing things like that because, you know, you get, if it's a fun part, it's worth it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And just hanging out with friends, right?
Yeah. Put a show on the garage is what I call it.
A what?
You're putting a show on in the garage.
Yeah. Okay, I want to play pickleball with you.
Hey!
I want to go on the Traders with you.
I need a fourth on Sunday.
Weekends, I have soccer with my son.
Yeah, sure.
But weekdays.
Sure.
You know.
You're scared.
I'm scared.
I'm a
little scared. Okay, we're going to make that happen. We are going to play pickleball.
It'll be fun.
Do
you play, Rebecca?
I play tennis.
Yeah.
Oh, look at the way she said that.
Snooty. Yeah. My husband used to be that way.
And I've seen him.
You know what? I would actually like to play pickleball, but I don't know how.
You'll love it.
Yeah.
Really?
My husband was like a pro.
He was?
A professional.
He was number 25 in the world.
Yeah.
He beat.
In tennis?
He beat McEnroe.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. He was on the tour for many, many years. And now he's on the pickleball tour. I mean, he's like, listen, he made fun of it. He hated pickleball so much. He hated it. He thought it was the stupidest game ever. Now you cut to him now. He's like, We have a pickleball court in our backyard. Oh, he's a maniac.
Well, I want a lesson then.
Definitely, you'll fall in love.
I want to listen with the pro.
If just invite her over on a really different good day.
Well, I'm not that. I didn't say I was good at tennis. It's just okay. That I can play tennis.
Okay, we're going to play pickleball, and you can watch any episode of Soapy that you may have missed on the CBS YouTube channel. You can watch our wonderful guest on The Young and the Restless on CBS and on Paramount Plus. And anything else?
Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
It was really, really fun.
It was so much fun.
It was a lot of fun. And we're going to also
go on. I'm not sweating. I'm still hungry, though.
We're going to figure out how to get onto the traders together, and we will see you guys next week. Thanks so much for being with us
today. Thank you.
Bye.